This morning we're not going to read the scriptures all at one time. I have a lot of scriptures this morning. And we have been talking about authority. We're going to continue talking about authority this morning. So our first scripture is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. And I'm going to just turn around and read it. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. And let's go ahead and read 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 14. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness, but I do not allow a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve. And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman being deceived fell into transgression. All right. I want to share with you this morning that these two scriptures probably have been used the wrong way more than any other scripture that I've ever heard of. They have been used for a battering ram. They have been used for people to be very oppressive. And that was not the intent of this scripture. Yes, husbands are the head. But I want you to look at the body. Is there not an awful, not awful, yes. Isn't there a lot besides the head? And can you see this head trying to move itself anywhere? The head has a purpose, but it is not all and in all. So, I want us to understand, we've been talking about authority, and God uses these levels of authority, and I want you to understand that is why it is so important when either a wife or a child is having spiritual issues that the head of the house be involved. Not that the rest of the house shouldn't be involved, that's not what I'm saying. But God created man to be the head of the house. I do not want to take away from what God created the woman to be. I'm not trying to subvert the women at all. I want them to realize God created them for a very special purpose. The head needs an awful lot of help. All right. Is that enough said or not? So women, just recognize what the purpose is. Now, if we were to read a little further in that scripture, what does it say? We are to love the head, the husband is to love the wife just as Christ loved the church. So when this head gets a little bit prideful or this head gets a little bit stubborn, sometimes they forget that what the purpose was is to love just as Christ loved the church. Sometimes the head can get a little selfish. And that's when the wife needs to do a little helping by pointing out the rest of the scripture. But when it comes to spiritual battles, the head needs to be involved. God uses order. And so when we have had times that we have been praying for people to be freed from demons, we have tried to make sure that we are using the proper authority. So we look to see who the authority is in the life. If it's a child, we go to the father. If there is no father, we go to the mother. What does it say for a woman who has no husband? Christ becomes the father. And so she then has to step in the earthly realm and be a part of that authority. It is so important that we understand this. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2 there says that a wife should not teach. I want to share with you, okay, in the King James Version, you'll notice it says woman. When I went to the Greek, I found that we need to have a little bit of understanding. And I'd like to share these things. These verses indicate that women were full and active members in the early church. From an examination of 1 Corinthians 11, 2 through 16, it is also clear that both wives and husbands could pray and prophesy in the worship service. In all this discussion, Paul's chief concern was that no woman would be of immoral character by having short hair or a shaven head, because in this manner she dishonors God, her husband's character, and herself. Peter also had something to say concerning the witness of women and their conduct at home. In marital relationships, a woman is not presented as having any fewer rights over her husband than he has over his wife. Did you hear that, guys? She has no fewer rights than her husband. The key to understanding what the Apostle Paul is teaching is that women should not try to appear or act like men. In addition to this, they should not attempt to usurp the position of their husbands in the home or in the church. God has appointed specific tasks for both women and for men. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is concerned about women appearing modest in their clothing. And in verse 9, the Greek word, and I'm not going to try to say it, provides the clue for the interpretation of this difficult passage. The Greek word translated sobriety means the voluntary limitation of one's freedom of thought and behavior, or sober-mindedness. When Paul was writing to Timothy, when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, and when it talks about the women keeping silent in the church, it was because there was a problem with order in that particular church. And so he had to address those. And again, in especially where it's saying that women should keep silent, it shouldn't read women, it should say wife. And that's because when the husband is there, they need to work together. Now I want us to see, though, he was talking about being out of order. If Paul had a problem with women talking in the church, he would have told Priscilla and Aquila to stop ministering the way they did. Because they, as a team, would teach others. This scripture was simply to help them to understand and to follow the order that God had given. I have to tell you, it saddens and breaks my heart how many men I have known who have taken this scripture and oppressed their wives because of it. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Go ahead and let's hear your Colossians 3:20. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Again, teaching on order, spiritual order. We need to understand that children have got to be taught. Children don't come out of the womb knowing these things, do they? Children don't come out of the womb knowing how to walk. They don't come out of the womb knowing how to talk. They don't come out of the womb knowing how to read. Parents, we have a responsibility to make sure that our children know what they need to know. One of them is that there is order in the world and they will have to always deal with that order. One of the things that I have found and that I have even struggled with in my life is because we talk so much about freedom in America is the fact that we don't like anyone to ever tell us anything to do. But I'm sorry, you better get used to it. Because you go to work and there's someone telling you what you should be doing. And we better tell our children not to touch the stovetop. Do you understand what I'm saying? These are the way God established for protection. Rules were always meant for protection, not to be a burden. Let's move ahead. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body in Christ. We'll go ahead and have the next one. It is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer, it is a fine work he desires to do. An overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. Not addicted to wine or pugnacious, but gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money. He must be one who manages his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. But if a man does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of the church of God? And not a new convert, so that he will not become conceited and fall into condemnation incurred by the devil. And he must have a good reputation with those outside the church, so that he will not fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Deacons likewise must be men of dignity, not double-tongued or addicted to much wine or fond of sordid gain, but holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are on beyond reproach. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips, but temperate, faithful in all things. Deacons must be husbands of only one wife and good managers of their children and their own households. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a high standing and great confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus. I am writing these things to you, hoping to come to you before long. But in case I am delayed, I write so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the support of the truth. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who is revealed in the flesh was vindicated in the spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nation, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. Hallelujah. All right. Whoa. Did you hear all that? It is important that the people that are placed in positions of authority within the church, the overseers, the deacon, that they learn to live a God-led life. If there are problems in the marriage, deal with them. You see, we are told that if a person can't manage his own household, how can he work with 100 different households? We want no fire hazards. All right. But there is a purpose for overseers in the church. Now, I want us to think about how God has established different churches, different beliefs, different ways of operating. We are a Baptist church. Baptists are congregational. But you will find that there are varying amounts of the authority within the congregation in different Baptist churches. And that is up by the bylaws that they have. But what we need to understand is what Scripture says about those people who have been placed in authority. Christ said He was the example. And how did He show? He did it, one, by example. Two, by service. Jesus was absolutely the greatest leader ever. But look how He led. He wasn't sitting on His behind telling His disciples, go and do this, go and do that, go and do this. He was leading by example. And that's what we should see in the church. Leading by example. And if for some reason we see that the leader is not fulfilling these qualifications, we need to be concerned and we need to help that leader deal with what's going on so that they can then be where they are, should be. I want you to think about this. If you are involved in a major struggle in your household, either with your children are having great issues or your wife and you are not being able to serve, how on earth are you going to be able to focus on hearing what the Spirit wants to say to you? Because you're so overwhelmed with what's happening to yourself. That's why we also had the example when the person was going to go to the altar and lay their sacrifice, they said, no, go and first get right with your brother, then come to the altar. We need to get all these encumbrances out of our way so that we can stand with God and not be focusing everywhere else. We're going to move ahead. This is where sometimes it becomes kind of a challenge for us. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And it's talking about praying for. Pray for kings and all who are in authority so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. And then Romans 13, 1 and 2. Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. We are told we are to work within the structure that we live in. America has been set up one way, Russia's been set up another. If we were a Christian in Russia, we would have to work within that. Now, we need to recognize that God said that when rulers tell us to do what is ungodly, we still have to choose God. Look at Daniel. What did he say? I can't eat these things. Look at, I mean, we could go through scripture after scripture where the people would say, no, I will serve God first. Why was Mordecai in trouble with Naaman? Because he wouldn't bow to him. Because Mordecai said, I can only bow to God. So you see, there are heavenly rules which are above all other rules. But then anything that is set up by man that under our government that is not ungodly, we are to follow. And I have to tell you, I struggle with speed limits. I'm sure there should be a law written, speed limit 70 plus or minus a couple. You know, shouldn't it be written that way? It's not, though. But this, to be honest with you, what does it say? And when we refuse to follow the laws, we are actually breaking God's laws as well. So, enough said. Next one, masters over slaves, Ephesians 6:5. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart, as to Christ. Now, you would say, we don't have slaves. But I would ask you to put in their servants. What do we become when we are hired into a job? We become a servant of that company. And it says that everything we do should be as if we were doing it unto Christ. And 1 Peter 2:13 through 14. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. We could just include that with what we were just talking about. That we are to allow those that are in authority over us and we are to submit to them. And lastly, we have one more authority we need to look at. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. Do you hear that? The first one is where you hear quoted all the time, for the husband is the head of the wife. But it says that Jesus is the head of what? The church. We are a part of the church. This building is not a church. It is a structure. The church is people. Christ is our head. We must submit to him. If we don't submit to him, we are in rebellion. What does Scripture say about rebellion? Becky? Every Christian knows we shouldn't mess with witchcraft, don't we? But do we equate it to rebellion? We should be. Rebellion is something that every Christian has to deal with in their life. Rebellion to authority is one of the things that I think that as Americans that we struggle with. And it's because we have held up freedom so much that we don't want to ever look at submission. But I want you to recognize that freedom does not mean non-submission. You did have a choice to work or not to work at that job, didn't you? You took the job. You did have a choice in almost everything. But once we commit, we must follow the rules. All right? Even if we don't like who gets elected, it doesn't mean we get to not obey. As long as that person doesn't tell us to do something that is ungodly. I'm going to wind up here real quick. But I want you to realize that I want us to understand authority, because this is how, when we are doing the spiritual battle that we've been talking about, that we have to work within these guidelines. And we therefore must go to the authority that we have to. I found it very interesting that John and Darwin both, who in their situation work, have found that there were spiritual problems. The bosses came to them and asked them to deal with it. Why? Because they recognized they knew what was happening. But if the bosses hadn't gotten involved, then Darwin and John could have had no effect because they didn't have the authority. That's just an example of what we need to understand. Look to the authority God has established and go to where you need to go to be able to give freedom. Understood? All right. I know that was a lot of scriptures and a lot of things, but we have to understand that God said he is a God of order, not disorder. This is the order he's established. You and I need to learn to work within it as His people, as His witness, as we minister freedom to those in bondage. Amen?